Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. New fissures opened over the weekend in the Pajo area as Kilauea volcano continues to raise concerns. HPR reporter Ku'uwei Hiraishi has been on the ground in Pajo for the past week. She joins us this morning to share the latest. Good morning, Ku'uwei.
Good morning, Chris. Aloha.
You were telling me that aside from anything else, there's a loud soundtrack to all that's going on.
There is. One of the recent fissures that opened up Sunday morning, we're hearing reports from residents nearby of what sounded like thunder. And a lot of this from USGS scientists have been coming from steam jets that come out of these new fissures. So sort of an energy boom, if you will, rattling windows and really getting folks alarmed at what's happening over at the fissures.
Well, it's adding to the tension of the situation. What else is going on today?
Today, we are going to hear an update from the community outreach folks on what the needs assessments look like for folks who have been evacuated. I mean, when you talk about a question like, where are you going to put 2,000 people who don't have homes?
Right.
Or what else do they need? What can we do to help them transition in the meantime? Those are all questions that community organizations or this coalition of community organizations should have temporary answers to later today. So that is an update we are also waiting for. And as we've all been predicting or waiting for this explosion over at Halema'uma'u Crater or the summit of Kilauea Volcano, that is also something that I know is being updated as we speak by USGS.
That's the concern over the steam-driven, possibility of steam-driven explosions, yeah?
Exactly, and the ashfall that would come from that closer to the summit. Now, not too many residents near in that particular area, so this is 25 miles away from upland of Leilani Estates, where the fissures are breaking through, but still a concern because of the ash and the toxic sulfur dioxide that will come from that in the days following the explosion.
Ku'uwei, there's a report that just came in. I don't know if you saw this about Highway 130 being reopened and lava getting closer to Highway 132.
Well, I did not see that recent report, but I did do a little field visit that late Saturday to check out the new cracks that opened up along Highway 132. So this is the road down to Kapoho from Pahoa, and it's interesting to see that these volcanic fissures spewing lava into the air start with something as simple as a crack in the asphalt. And so we did get to see those on Saturday, and we are anticipating that that will be then another fissure in the future. So we shall see.
And obviously, if anything happens to Highway 132, that's another concern about an evacuation route, yeah?
Yes, because it blocks off access to folks in Kalapana, Opikau, and Kapoho, who have slowly been making their way out of those residences, mostly because of the lack of water in the area. So folks have kind of found it hard to live there while they're trying to go about their daily lives. So some of them have moved out and moved in with relatives. But if lava does block off access completely, that would be a that would have long-term effects on the entire coast.
Are you seeing a lot of community concern, you know, people stepping forward to help?
There has been, yes. We had a huge kids' day on Saturday where the community came out and, you know, put up water slides and sort of kept the morale of our keiki who have been evacuated and impacted by this, have an opportunity to be kids for a day while all this is going on. And then, of course, the folks who have set up the Pu'uhonua'o Puna is what they're calling it, a safe haven of Puna, checkpoint where people can get donated items or get more information. That's been a community-driven effort. So it is interesting to see folks step up when people are in need.
Well, Ku'uwei, it's been really valuable to have you there on site, and so we'll keep checking in with you. Thanks very much.
Mahalo, Chris. Aloha.
Ku'uwei Hiraishi is HPR's General Assignment Reporter. You can find her reports and the latest updates on the Kilauea eruption on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.
Before we wrap up today, we have HPR's news director Bill Dorman joining us in the studio. He's got the latest information on the Kilauea eruption.
Yeah, just another of these conference calls, media calls from USGS running Steve Brantley, the deputy scientist in charge, running this after or this morning's one, really. And again, just slight updates, nothing radically different. Still those two sites of activity, the Lower East Rift Zone and the summit of Kilauea, the Halemaumau Crater, both sites very much remaining active. The Lower East Rift Zone continuing eruption, and we heard about these new eruptions overnight. At one point, the newest lava flow going at about 650 feet an hour. So again, at the front wall. Again, wow. These are not speedy in the sense of lava streams, but it is moving apace. Those earthquakes continue, but not at the intensity level of last week. Smaller quakes; they've not moved further down rift. And at the summit, Steve Brantley had an interesting point of saying that the crater now is essentially an open vent, that gas is being released. So there have been these rock falls continue from time to time. That shoots up the spikes of ashy plume, as he put it. But the idea that it was a certainty that when the lava goes to the level of the water table that there would definitely be in these steam-driven explosions, not so much. It's a possibility that is not going to be a definite happening. Again, very, very uncertain, and I hasten to add that they don't know a lot about this because it is unprecedented. They're sort of going off of what they believe, but they can't even see the level of the lava right now inside the crater. So a lot of this is uncertain.
I remember Wes was saying that there's no water in there now, but the some could be created and that you could get that eventually, but yeah.
And at one point, Steve mentioned that they don't even really know where the water table is. They're not certain about this. Again, it's not sort of mapped out in a very specific way. So a lot of this is very, pardon the phrase, fluid.
But if pressure is being released, that would have to be a good sign compared to what we heard before.
Exactly. And that was exactly sort of the emphasis of something that was a bit of learning along the way.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, the team of geologists and geophysicists and everyone else is forever getting new data, inputting that, comparing to historical models and trying to calculate. And, of course, the journalists on the call say, hey, you told us that there would be an explosion and there's no explosion, and what's the deal? And it's, you know, again, it's a little more cautious than that, but it's an evolving situation.
Well, there
are
explosions that are just happening in different areas, and we can't hear them quite. Yeah, well, or there's not the big dramatic one.
Well,
right?
And the explosions that do happen, and again, not to minimize this at all for the folks on site, as these boulders tumble down into the crater, then they have an explosion, the lava interacting with those, and poof, up comes these plumes of ash, which include pumice fragments as well. And so that's different than, again, the steam-driven explosion is what everyone has been sort of watching out for. And again, that still may occur. That still may be on track. We just don't know.
I just think it's so fascinating, the whole thing about the old lava and the new lava. You know, and that the old lava is moves slower.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that so now some of these newer fissures, there's introduction of some of the newer lava along with that. But that's another factor that, again, as scientists go along with this, there's constant analysis and sort of recalibration in terms of where we are. So it's not as if here's a definitive word along with a definitive prediction. And I think everyone certainly in Pune realizes that and knows that and has lived with that. But this is not at all an exact precision-driven forecasting model.
It's really, aside from the concern for people and homes in the area, we're getting a view of how the Earth is formed.
That's very definitely true, and scientists in terms of gathering research, that also is targeted back towards protecting people and property in the future as well. This is also part of this event, for sure.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, we're all getting educated as we express our concern for the people in the area.
Yeah, you bet.
Bill Dorman is HPR's news director.